Today is June 14th, 2017. The markets were, I don't even know what the markets were today. I just realized I don't know what the markets were today, John. Whoops, forgot to write that down. I could do a quick check of that. But what are we talking about today? We are talking about men and women and the interplay of financial decisions. So I'll tell you how I got to that in just a minute, but I do have the market numbers. We have the Dow was up just slightly to 21,374. The S&P was, you know, pretty flat at 24,37. All right, I don't have and the Nasdaq was also just pretty flat at 61,94. All right, so the news out tonight today with Yellen increasing the treasury rate a little bit too impacted the markets somewhat. But as I always say, up, down, that's what they do. The markets, I mean. So what are we talking about? Men and women and the interplay of financial decisions. Why should this make a difference? And I hope I can have a little fun with talking about that tonight. We are live. We will take questions if you have questions, but tonight's topic really is a little bit theoretical. So it might be not as much questions as experiences or, you know, stories that you might have that you'd like to share. You can call in at 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you could talk live on air with me or off air. If you're not comfortable talking on air, you can talk off air. We just ask you to give your question to Lori C. She's in the studio answering calls, and she'll take your information. If you do talk live on air, we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you could still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. And I feel like I'm getting like a frog in my throat or something, so I apologize if my voice is off a little bit tonight. Again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Email is also available, of course, at yourfinancialchoices.com. So what are we talking about? Men and women and the interplay of financial decisions. So over my years of experience in the financial industry, I've made some general observations, and these kind of bounce around in my head. And I thought, finally, I'm going to try to see if I can nail down these a solution to some of these observations I had. And what are those observations? Well, men and women generally make decisions differently. You might think y'all know that. Women take longer to make decisions. Again, these are my observations. Women take longer to make decisions. Three, women feel they're underserved in the financial services industry, which, you know, might impact when we're talking about the differences in women and men and their financial decisions. And four, as most of us know, women are behind men, typically, generally, on average, behind men in pay, promotion, retirement, representation on boards and in executive positions, etc. So I started thinking about this, especially that fourth item, women being behind in pay, promotion, retirement, in light of the first three, which are women in men generally make decisions differently, women take longer, and women are feeling underserved. So is there some kind of connection is what I have been thinking about for some time. And of course, I do a weekly radio show. I also have another job. I'm not a researcher. I'm not an academic. So I don't have the resources or the capacity to thoroughly research this, but I thought I might take a stab at seeing if there is some kind of connection. So I started, you know, Googling information to see what I could find. And what I wanted to know is, could it be that women's decision-making processes puts them behind in their financial decisions? That's a big question. I really would love if someone, you know, researched it more thoroughly. Because one thing I did find when I was looking up information to see if there were any research, stats, statistics on this, I found that there were some conflicting numbers, and I think it must depend on who is doing the research and perhaps who they are asking the questions of. So, for example, some of the numbers I found and that I'm going to mention later came from a study that was through Investment News. And then, of course, you find studies from service websites. There was something in Fox News I had just seen right before I came in. So there are a number of different studies, but I think it could be really vary depending on which women you're talking to when you're asking these kinds of questions. So bottom line, could it be that women's decision-making process puts them behind in their financial decisions? And could it be that men's decision-making shortchanges the women? You know, we hear in the industry in general that men are the decision makers, the financial party, the financial spouse, generally, they say, is the man. Now, one of the studies from Investment News, it said 96.6% of women said they were responsible for making investment decisions on their own or equally with a spouse. Well, if the women are saying that, I think maybe in the financial services industry, if they did the study and asked the men would probably say that they're more the financial spouse. Now, again, these are generalizations. It's not always the case, as many women know. but if in a husband and wife situation or partner relationship, you have a man and a woman making financial decisions together, and the man is considered to be the decision maker in some respects, might they be shortchanging the woman's involvement? And we're going to talk about why and where some of this comes from. So the first source I had used was from a blog for Smarter Sellers, it was called, when I just did a search, Men and Women Financial Decisions. And this Smarter Sellers blog is called Guided Selling. The website is called GuidedSelling.org. And the particular blog I read was called Women versus Men, Gender Difference in Purchase Decision Making. And that's by Annika van Aswegen. And it was dated October 29, 2015. So I want to give her credit for that because I thought this was fascinating. And the article was in particular about purchase decisions. But I think that we can extrapolate from that just differences in men and women and how they think. So as I go through the next probably 10, 15 minutes, I'm going to talk about some of the tendencies that she looked at that were different for men and women. All right, so I hope this is going to be fun. And I know it's a little different than what I normally do, but when we start getting into the summer months, I like to reach out and do different kinds of shows. So if you do have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And we'll continue our discussion right after this next break.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
In 2017, WDIY is celebrating 22 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit wdiy.org or call 610-694-8100. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking tonight about men and women and the interplay of financial decisions. And my little asterisk on this show is a lot of this is me just kind of pondering the differences in men and women and how we make decisions. In particular, I'd found this article, Women versus Men, Gender Differences in Purchase Decision Making, by Annika van Aswegen. And she refers to gender being one of the major factors in a customer's decision making, And I would propose in decision-making in general, not just to customers, but just in decision-making in general. And you'll see what I mean as I go through this. And I hope that after I kind of give you a list of these tendencies and we go through them, I am going to circle back and hopefully bring this all together and come up with some warranted observations. So in looking at what influences decision-making, consider one's motivation, perspective, and rational. Some of the tendencies that she looked at were, number one, the brain, differences in the brain of men and women. Number two, motives. Three, a hunt versus a quick perspective. Four, emotions versus facts and data. Five, loyalty for brands versus service. Six, risk aversion. Now, she looked at a couple other tendencies, but I decided to stick with these six. So first, the brain. The article referred to a research study by Mark Gungor, where he describes the physical differences between men and women's brains. Men mostly use the left side of the brain, which performs logic computation, and they process facts. The women use mostly the right side of the brain, where they process visual imagery and interpret context. So men are kind of performing logic computation, processing facts. That maybe that goes back to like the baseball card kind of phenomenon where boys seem to love baseball cards. And this is, again, stereotypes, but it might be based in fact and science where some of this comes from. Women, imagery and context, you know, storytelling, pretty things, you know, visualizing, you know, creative energy that they have. So from this, they glean that men tend to be mission and task oriented, while women tend to be about discovery. And with that discovery, though, women will adapt their goals through discovery. So women are taking a little bit more time to interpret, to see things, to discover, and they adapt as they go through that process. So I think that's really, really interesting. So men, give me the facts. Let me compute that. Makes sense. Boom. Women, a little bit longer. The second tendency that she looked at were motives. Men tend to be utilitarian, which is the pursuit of an intended consequence. They get to the point. Women tend to be more hedonic or looking for a pleasant emotional response. So they take more time to learn, see how I feel, that kind of thing. Third, a hunt versus a process. Women want more options while men want a quick, effortless process. So I found that quite fascinating. As you start stacking these up, you start to see, you know, a trend. And, you know, I'm a female. I tried it on and it does make sense to me. I do like to interpret in context. I like imagery, motives. I like to, you know, feel good about things that I'm doing. And the hunt versus the process, I would generally think that the assumption would be that men like the hunt. But when you describe it as women wanting more options, that makes sense to me. I think that women tend to always feel like we have to navigate situations and we're thinking about everyone and the consequences. What is this going to do to me, to my husband, to my family, to my children? What's going to happen? And it's a little bit more broad, maybe. So in that context, if you call that the hunt, that's women wanting more options. That kind of makes sense to me. Men, quick, effortless process, it might just be back to that, how their brain works, where it's, you know, or the motive, which is the utilitarian, which is just get to the point. Let's get this done. The fourth tendency was emotions versus fact and data. Women are making their decisions from an emotional place while men make their decision on facts and data. I personally might argue from personal experience that women make their decisions from both an emotional place and facts and data, because I know I like facts and data as well. But I'll overlay the emotional experience on top of that facts and data after I've taken that all in. I factor those that financial information along with how something might make me feel, what feels right, what makes sense. Women tend to be more comprehensive in reviewing both subjective and objective input, while men tend to favor objective information more. So women might want to get other people's opinions. When you go on maybe a TripAdvisor type of website, you're going to be reading all of the reviews, see what the people say, what were their experiences. That's subjective. Objective might be, what's the cost of the hotel? Where's the location of the hotel? What are the amenities that come with the hotel? That might be more objective. And what the studies have indicated is that men might be more interested in that objective part than what other people might think about. You know, how the hotel made them feel. Is it cozy? Is the decor nice? You know, subjective information. And subjective information could be facts of data as well, as I said, like where is the location. But a woman might want to know what people thought about that. Did it make sense to be close to maybe a park? Or might one of the travelers have said it would make more sense, you might be a little farther from the park, but this hotel also has a pool, which the kids liked, you see? So there's a little bit more comprehensive reviewing when you're trying to factor in all these different parts. The fifth tendency was loyalty. Men tend to be loyal to brands if the product works for them, while women tend to be loyal to brands if they receive good service. A study by Simon Baron Cohen was cited, and he found that even as babies, girls tend to focus on human faces and voices, while the boys focused on objects. I thought that was fascinating. So, as I said, sometimes it'll sound like we make generalizations, and certainly there are generalizations. Not all of this applies across the board, but I thought it really fascinating that they had found, even in babies, that's before you're influenced by, you know, the culture, your families, other people, society, that even as babies, the girls tended to focus on human faces and voices and react to those, while the little boys, babies, were focusing on the objects. I thought that very interesting. And the last thing I'll talk about when we come back from our next break is risk aversion. So as we are talking about men and women and the interplay of financial decisions, I think it was important to kind of set the table for gender differences in decision making, and then we'll talk about how this might apply in, you know, our ongoing financial lives when we're making these decisions, men and women together. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY. And as most of you know, you can stream live through the website, wdiy.org. And you can also visit the website for podcasts from prior shows. And you can look up a topic that might be of interest to you and listen away. Tonight, we are talking about men and women and the interplay of financial decisions. And this isn't anything scientific, not really researched to the magnitude I would research if I was doing a research paper for college studies or something like that. But just something I thought I'd try on and play with a little bit because of these observations I've made over my years in the financial services industry. And let me just recap those. I realize men and women make decisions differently. Women take longer to make decisions, is my experience generally. Women feel they are underserved in the financial services industry. That is from studies. That doesn't come from me. That comes from a lot of studies in the financial services industry. And women are behind in men in pay, promotion, retirement, representation generally. You hear about that often enough as well. So I wondered if there might be some link between these, women taking longer to make decisions, feeling a little bit underserved in financial services, and what can we do to bridge those differences that might be causing a lag a little bit. So first we went over some gender differences in decision making that were from an article or a blog, basically, that I read by Annika van Swegen in 2015 when I looked this up. And we talked about the differences in the brain between men and women, very, very basically as well. The motives. So the brain first, left brain performs logic computations and processes facts. That's men. Women, mostly right side of the brain, where they process visual imagery and interpret context. We talked about motives. Men tend to be utilitarian. They're looking, you know, to get to the point. Women, they're looking more for feeling good about something. You know, I'm sure that's not always the case because I'm a woman, so that's why I'm putting the extra commentary on there, and that women tend to want more options while men want a quick, effortless process. And you know what? I don't know if it's always that women want more options as much as women want to know the options. That's what I would say. It's to understand the options, to make sure they're making the best decision. And that could come from this emotions versus facts and data, where women tend to be more comprehensive in reviewing information in their decision-making process. And men tend to, again, be more objective, just looking at the data. Loyalty, that also, I think, kind of falls into all of the rest of this and maybe how their brains work, that men, once they understand the product, if they've already feel they've done the analysis of the facts and the data, they don't feel maybe that they have to revisit it again. So they don't waste their time. Maybe that's their way of being efficient. Boom, make a decision, move on. In fact, I remembered hearing this once where they said President Obama had, I think, 5 suits so that he would never have to waste time thinking about what suit he had to wear. And I thought I also heard that he even had the same kind of meal, so he doesn't have to think. He doesn't have to put that extra thinking in his brain so he can use his time spent on other more important decisions. Maybe that is a male thing as well. But that men tend to be more loyal to brands, where women are more loyal to good service, receiving good service. So the last item on her list that I am looking at was this risk aversion. Women perceive higher levels of risk. And in this case, they were looking at online shopping. Women perceived higher levels of risk for online shopping. They're more cautious about sharing personal information. And in fact, I think the study part of that was they actually said that men engaged more in the online shopping initially, which really boggled my mind because I would not have imagined that, but it was because they were more apt to provide that personal information. They were less risk averse to that, sharing that personal information, whereas women were a little bit more nervous about it. And as I'm talking about this, I realize, boy, my son does a lot of online shopping. So it could be that men just aren't talking about it. Women might talk about it. Women might go online and shop, but actually go into the stores to buy. That could be part of that. Whereas the men might just, you know, ship it to their home, quick, done, remember, get to the point, just do it. So those were some of the tendencies that we looked at, the differences in men and women in decision-making between men and women. Another article I had found was Women of Wealth, and it was by Heather Ettinger and Eileen O'Connor of the Family Wealth Advisors Council. And that article focused mostly on how women feel underserved in the financial services industry, because they said women are looking for relationships, respect, and education. But as we know, women are overwhelmed today with managing a career and still many of the duties of raising the children. So the Women of Wealth study identified the single most significant challenge or significant transition challenge for women at the time of the study was providing financially and emotionally for both their children and their parents. So the WOW study identified the single most significant transition challenge for women at the time of the study was providing financially and emotionally for both their children and their parents. So when we talk about women who are looking for relationships, respect, and education, they like to know all their options. They like to have personally fulfilling experience. They like to take the time to have a comprehensive review. You see what happens? If women need all that time and we don't have time because we're worrying about this sandwich generation, worrying about our parents and our children at the same time, women probably aren't finding the time they need to make financial decisions. And when we talk about the interplay between men and women, if men are just quickly making them, women may be feeling overwhelmed because they want to take time, they want to process, they want to do a thorough review, understand all their options. If we just don't have time to do that, I could see where there would be a tendency to let the men handle those decisions. It might not be because we're not capable. It just could be it's us working to our own efficiency. So men want to be efficient. They just want the facts, the data, boom, make a decision. And women, it's not that we can't do that. We just take longer and have a longer process to do it, but we don't have time to do it. So we're going to default to the men. So one study I think I had seen said, and I'm sorry, I can't reference it because it was just kind of in passing. It said that, I believe women are making 36% of the financial decisions in the family. So that was one study. And as I said, this investment news study that I had seen said 96% of the women said they're responsible for making investment decisions on their own or equally with their spouse. So they might feel that they're equally with their spouse if they're saying, honey, you take care of it. I'm too busy. I'm worrying about all these other things. I'm overwhelmed. I've got my job now. I've got the kids. I've got my parents. I'm in a place right now where I'm feeling a little overwhelmed recently. And if I could defer some financial decisions to someone, I think I'd say, go for it, do it. But let's see what the consequences of that might be as we talk more. All right. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond. It happens to be Lori Siebert's favorite radio station. I'm not going out on a limb there, am I?
Nope.
Lehigh Valley weather, currently 88 degrees. Tonight, a low around 59. Tomorrow, Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 79. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, low of 61 degrees. For Friday, a 50% chance of showers, thunderstorms possible after 2 p.m., cloudy with a high near 74. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, low of 66 degrees. Saturday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 81. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low around 68. So showers and thunderstorms as we come to the end of spring. Sounds about right, Lori.
Well, as long as we start having more sun on weekends, I'll be okay yes. with a little rain for the spring.
Come on, Mother Nature.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Folks, you're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. And we have, for me, kind of a fun subject tonight. I'm not talking about taxes. I'm not talking about retirement accounts. I'm not talking about Roth conversions. I'm talking about men and women and the interplay of financial decisions. If you have questions, comments, you have a question about something else, I'm happy to answer it. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Almost forgot the rest of the number. So these observations that we've been kind of talking about tonight, my concern, my worry, what I had been noticing is consistent with what studies have shown, which is that women tend to take longer in their decision making. My concern was, if we're taking longer in our decision making, are we missing opportunities? Are we hurting ourselves? So I wanted to understand what that difference was in decision-making between men and women. And I went over several of those differences that could be deemed gender differences, could be just the way our brains are set up. I know it's a generalization, doesn't apply to everyone all the time, but I wanted to know, is that making a difference? So we've talked about those differences. We've talked about how studies also show that women are overwhelmed today. They're managing the career. They're raising the children, along with men also participating in raising children more as well. And it could be, and I would like to see if there's studies on this, the more that the fathers participate in the raising of the children, what has that done to their own feelings of being overwhelmed, et cetera. How is that impacting their careers and their decision-making? That would be an interesting study as well. Maybe we could get someone from, you know, Lehigh or Moravian or Muhlenberg to do some gender studies on decision-making and how it might be impacting their financial lives as well. So the other study are some numbers I wanted to give you. Women by the numbers. So remember I said, okay, so women might take longer. We want to have the time to investigate different options, maybe all the options we have. So my first advice would be to curve back, having to know all the options. You want the best options. You don't need to look at all the options. So women have this need to understand all their options, time to develop a relationship and trust they you know, to have a relationship with an advisor and trust the advisor so they can make financial decisions. But at the same time, they don't have time. So if they don't have time, how are they going to get ahead? Well, listen to the numbers. If we don't figure this out, I don't know if we're going to get to where we should be or want to be. So let's see what we can do to maybe increase the chances of us making more timely financial decisions. Because women, according to this study by Investment News, women by the numbers, it's called 19 years, is the number of additional years on average that a woman retires at 65 can expect to live. That is 3 years longer than the average man. So a woman retiring at age 65 will live 19 additional years. That is 3 years longer than the average man. So we're living longer than men. We're living longer in general. And if we're retiring at 65, We hope that we made good decisions while we were working in our working years. 57% of Social Security beneficiaries are women. And as I mentioned earlier, this study said 96.6% of women said they were responsible for making investment decisions on their own or equally with a spouse. So remember when I said men kind of tend to make quick decisions and women want to explore their options, I'm very curious as to whether when we say we're participating in making the decisions, are we taking the time that we need to make those decisions? Some other statistics. 80% of men die married. 80% of men die married, while 80% of women die single. So single women, we need to do some extra planning. And women who, you know, marry into a second, you know, marriage with men, men are dying married, we want to make sure we have extra planning done in case we have blended families and things like that. The median age when a woman is widowed is 59. 59 years old, the median age when a woman is widowed. 14 years is the average length that women outlive their husbands. 14 years. And women are 4 times more likely than men to be widowed. 8.7 million are the number of widows 65 and over in the U.S. So when we talk about decision-making and taking time, we need to start thinking a little quicker and maybe making decisions a little faster, because we could run out of time because we have only so many working years. And what I fear is that if we're taking too long in our decision-making, we may not be getting those opportunities. We have a call on line one. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it because my voice is getting worn tonight. So,
talk to me. I wanted you to know that I'm finding your topic absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
And it really does. It fits my husband and I quite a bit. I always thought he calls me the CFO of the family because I do make most of the decisions.
Good.
And I always thought it was because I make a little more money than he does, but I'm also the more type A personality. A little more, A might stand for anal, because I've got to get all my ducks in a row and do all the fact-finding, and I have a science background. He's just a little more type B, laid back.
But yeah, but Carolyn, that sounds like what these studies were showing about women wanting to understand everything, follow through on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think the generalization out there is men are making the decisions. That's what people think. They think the men are the financial decision maker, but that might not always be the case.
That's just right.
That women are taking a lot longer. And what happens, we're behind the scenes telling the men, you know, we've studied all the options, we've done all this, we give them the answer, then they go in with their financial advisor and give the answer in 5 minutes. Financial advisor thinks, oh, those men are so good, they're so quick, they get it, the men get it. That's a joke between you and me, as
okay.
far as women and men, because we're women and we like the financial piece.
Yes,
traditionally,
definitely.
People don't think women like the financial piece, but I think we do. But go ahead. So you're the CFO.
I am the CFO. I hope he's still out weed whacking and hearing this. I had a quick question, a little bit off topic.
Okay.
There is a home improvement project that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have figured out the ballpark amount that money I'm going to need.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitate to take more money out of our IRAs because I don't want to bump us up into the next tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at loans. A home equity line of credit would be great, but for me it wouldn't work because they'd make us buy flood insurance. And that's a road I don't want to go down.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if you know of any kind of line of credit where I can use my good credit and maybe some of the savings and my income as collateral as opposed to using the house.
Well, you can use sometimes different types of collateral. I've seen people use securities as collateral, like their investments as collateral. What happens with that, you don't get an income tax deduction for that. You get an income tax deduction on a home equity loan or line of credit because your house is securing it. So that is an income tax deduction, which is why we don't often see the other kinds of loans, because people aren't getting an income tax deduction. But I will tell you, in all of my years of being in the financial services industry, I think I've probably only seen securities used as collateral for a loan maybe two or three times. We just don't see it that often, simply because I believe it's that deduction that people want. So when you look at using securities as collateral, there might be some other, you know, cautions that you have to be careful of, because if something happens to the loan and they have to liquidate the securities, you know, it might not be a good time to do that. Another option might be, and I generally don't tell people to use credit cards, but unless they pay them off every month, but there may be an opportunity to get a zero rate credit card that you might have for, you know, 6 months or something like that, where they give you the 0% rate. And if you know you could have the money set aside, you just want to avoid big income tax consequences, but maybe your cash flow could provide it. It just, you can't, you're, from your cash flow, you just can't get it all up front. You know,
right,
over the months, if you had 6 months or a year to build up your cash flow, you might have enough money at the end of the year, but you need the project money now.
Mm-hmm.
That could be an idea, where you use a 0% credit card, knowing that you could pay it off if you needed to with other resources. But I think you're going down the right path to consider, well, I could take it from retirement accounts, which means if I take a distribution from a retirement account, it might hit my tax return. Maybe your tax return isn't bad. Maybe your tax situation isn't bad. You don't want to take it out of your investments. If you're contributing a lot to a 401k, you could back off for a couple months from contributing to the 401k, see how much more that gives you in your paycheck, because remember, you're getting a tax deduction when you put money into a 401k.
Right.
But if you stop it, maybe you'll have a little extra cash flow. I've done that from time to time. Know something big's coming up, cut back my 401k contribution for a month or two, and then up it, you know, again later. That's another way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you could look at that. But the other thing is, maybe a different bank might not require the flood insurance. If you look around to a different lender, they might not have that. And I don't know how much flood insurance costs, but if you get a reasonable rate on a loan, on a home equity loan, it may or may not be worth it,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on the tax.
Okay.
So a few ideas, nothing, you know, off the top of my head. Usually when you're taking those loans, when you're using investments as security, it's from your brokerage account, not from, you know, kind of a retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
You also could take a loan from a 401k generally. So you could always take a loan, but that has a cost as well. Generally, the employer or the plan itself will have maybe a little fee, $150 or something like that, to do the loan paperwork, and then there's going to be interest on it, but you're paying yourself back.
Hmm. It almost seems like I'd be better decreasing the 401k contributions for a while.
That could be an option. Now,
yeah,
that will have a little bit of an income tax impact too, but that might be something to do to build up your cash.
Okay. Well,
okay,
hopefully it'll be temporary and, you know, because that's an easy thing to change,
right,
up and down. Just a few clicks and you're good.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right. Okay, Carolyn, thanks for calling in.
Hey,
and
thank you.
Keep being the CFO. That's a good title for you. Okay?
Thanks.
Take care.
So much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up. 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Attention beer lovers! WDIY's Homebrew Fest is back. WDIY is proud to present our second annual Homebrew Fest, an afternoon of beer tasting and music, featuring over 30 handcrafted beers from the Lehigh Valley's best homebrewers. Saturday, July 8th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Ice House in Bethlehem. Discounted early bird tickets are available now for a limited time. Get your tickets today at WDIY.org. Cheers!
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, we still have plenty of time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we are talking about men and women and the interplay of financial decisions. And this is where I was going when we talk about the interplay. And with Carolyn calling in, I kind of alluded to it, which was, sometimes we will see where a husband and wife might come in together and the wife might be a little bit quieter, probably because she's studying and the man seems more engaged, and you've got financial advisors who only talk to the men. Hopefully that's changing over the course of years, and more awareness that both parties participate in the financial decisions. But then they go home and hopefully have these talks at home. I mean, that is what I strongly encourage. What I worry about is if men are making quick decisions and they're looking at facts and data, and women are taking longer to make decisions because they're trying to get a comprehensive view of things, understand all the options. My fear is if as a couple, you're not working together on that, you're not sure where those decisions are going to go. So on the one hand, I worry about women taking too long in their decision-making, because is their delaying hurting them? And as you heard me mention all the statistics about women being widows earlier, collecting Social Security, if we take too long in making decisions, we may not be ahead of the game in setting ourselves up for our retirement, our longer retirement, our retirement as widows. So we have to kind of learn, there's a saying which I can't repeat on the air, which is, you know, kind of get off your duff and get going. We can't take so long in our decision making that we fail to make decisions. And men, however, they need to understand that sometimes that process that women have of taking a little longer, understanding all their options, getting a comprehensive view of things, objective, subjective, studying. If they're not open to kind of paying attention to that and welcoming that input as well, men sometimes may be making decisions too quickly and not understanding all their options. And as regular listeners know, I say at the end of every show, be proactive, not reactive. Well, if you're making decisions so fast that you haven't thought them all through, then you could be putting yourself in a reactive kind of position. We have people who aren't in a relationship where you have a man and a woman. So this may not apply to everyone. You may be all by yourself, and you may be the person who has to make good decisions, informed decisions, and probably use both sides of your brain right from the beginning, and understand that if you are someone who makes quick decisions and that hasn't gone well for you, it is okay to be a little thoughtful, reflective, get the information and education that you need to make those decisions. But my fear for women is that I'm seeing women taking so long to make a decision, exploring options for so long that they're not implementing, they're not making a decision. And if you're not making decisions about your financial life, it could set you back a little bit. Now, when we go and we talk about women may not be making as much money, women may not be advancing in positions in corporate America or holding board positions, in some way that could just be from historical norms that we've had to deal with all these years, that this is just how it's been. Men hire their friends and other men, and they hire like-minded people. So you have men who are interviewing other men, and they like their quick decision-making, and boom, boom, this guy's my guy, and that's all great. And they haven't taken the time to understand the influence that thought process that women have in exploring options could actually be advantageous as well. I don't have the statistics off the top of my head, but I know and have recalled that they say companies that have substantial female presence on their boards actually tend to perform better. So I can't quote where that came from, but that is what I perceived. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So men, you have to understand that women take longer in decision making, and they should be participants in the family financial decisions if they are not already. Women, I want you to realize that men might make faster decisions, and it doesn't mean that your input isn't valuable. So don't disengage. That's the other observation and worry I have for women, is that the man kind of might say, hey, I got this, I know this, and maybe they're not patient waiting for you to give your input. And so you just don't want to bother. You just kind of wave your hand and say, oh, go ahead, just do whatever, you got this. So don't disengage either. Participate. Say, let's think about this for a minute. Let's make sure I understand this. Have we explored all of our options? I really firmly believe we do need to be more proactive and make better decisions up front rather than trying to fix things. So women, self-reflection is okay. I think it's okay to take some time to think about what you're doing, but see if the delaying that you might be doing could be hurting you. So that's a big takeaway that I wanted to make sure that I got across tonight, that women tend to think about things. The other thing I realize women do, and again, generalization, but my experience, is that we think that people will recognize our contributions, our input, if they, number one, if they respect us and if they like us and if we do a good job, we'll get rewarded for that. Whereas men tend to kind of just go in and say, this is what I need, this is what I expect, and boom, they tend to get it more. So let's try to work together and see each individual, though, with their own set of circumstances, while understanding that we do have gender tendencies. So gender tendencies as couples, as men and women going into financial decisions, and also gender tendencies when we're working with either a man or working with a woman. So when you go in as a couple to make financial decisions, whether you're working with an advisor or a tax preparer or the banker, you're going in to maybe buy a house, understand that together you have those gender tendencies, but together, if it's a good balance, right? If the men might be quicker facts and data, and the woman's understanding the options, that's a great advantage if you work together. And that's what I want folks to do, is to respect each other's contributions that you're bringing into the financial decision-making process. But women who, as we said, outlive men and are alone longer, don't let the exploration of options that you have stymie you or keep you from acting. Just do it, as some paraphernalia say. Just do it. No, after you've thought it all through. I had a question from Consuela in Easton, and she said, recommendation to find a financial advisor to discuss retirement and financial planning, etc., but she wants a woman. How does she find a woman? Consuela, I was going to write down the website of the CFP board, and I didn't, but I know it off the top of my head to share that with folks, so that's a good question. The CFP board is a certified financial planner board, and they have a website at cfp.net, and that's C as in cat, F as in Frank, P as in Paul, cfp.net. And on there, you can click a link to find a financial professional, and you could put in your city, state, and zip code, and there will be a whole list of financial advisors that will pop up hopefully in your area, and you can search kind of some of the criteria or skill set that they might have, and you may be able to tell if it's a man or a woman by their name. Sometimes there's pictures, but you could find some there. There's also an FPA, that's the Financial Planning Association. There's an FPA planner search. So if you go on, just search for FPA, Frank, Paul, Apple, FPA planner search in any kind of Google search. It should take you to the Financial Planning Association website. And you can do the same thing where you can search for a financial planner, I believe, based on city and zip code. They may or may not be CFP, Certified Financial Planners. So those are a couple options for you to check. And, you know, there might be a name there that, you know, you could tell is female versus male. So good job, Consuela, and I hope you're taking action. But also keep that female side too, where you do explore some options. I like people to explore options. I like people to understand and be educated. I like people to make sure they're making the right financial decision for them based on any number of facts and circumstances. My concern has been, though, if we take too long in those decisions, we're going to be behind we're going to be a little bit behind. And that's what I don't want to see. That's what I don't want to happen. So let's make decisions, ladies and men. Let's work together. I think that's the best way. Folks, thanks for, letting me do this show. Thank you for letting me pick topics that are a little off the normal financial education information. It's fun for me. And as we go through different times of the year, I like to do a little bit more off base kind of financial stories or shows. If you have anything in particular that you ever want me to do a show on, something you haven't heard in a while, something you're interested in, just shoot me an email. And that's through yourfinancialchoices.com, and I'll do my best to accommodate. Next week, I have the topic, ways you lose asset value despite the market. Wonder what I mean by that. Ways you lose asset value despite the market. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Thank you, John. Thank you, Lori. And thank you, Carolyn, for calling in. And Consuelo, I appreciate it. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.